Unfortunately, this is the last time you'll get to hear me speak. Some of you might be happy about that, but I'm going to be upset to be leaving this coming Sunday, go back to school. We will have another year, and I'm looking forward to that. And it's such an honor to be able to say that Flatwoods is my church family and to be able to come back here and be with you all again. We'll definitely make a few trips to come visit and get to see you all throughout the school year. This evening, I want to take a look at Psalm 19. It's one of my favorite psalms. Anytime I'm going through something, it's a great... The entire psalm is one of those things you can read through, and it gives you such encouragement, uplifts you in many different ways. But Psalm 19 is one of my favorite, because there's a couple of things that we learn about God in this message. And the first, from verses 1 through 6, we're going to learn about the authority of God, why He has authority over us, why He has power over us. And we'll start in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chambers, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. God has authority over us because He created us. That's as simple as you need to go, right? He is the one that created all things. He's created each of us, that we have life. And as we're going to look at that seminar coming up in September, that's going to be something you're going to be able to study in depth, and that's going to be a great thing for all of us to be here for. Hopefully, I'll be able to make it down as well. But there's a couple reasons why God has authority. He starts with the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Going out and seeing the heavens and the skies at night show God's authority over man, right? Moving on, it talks about their voices go out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Everywhere you go, you cannot run away from God's power through creation. As you see the skies, you see His creation, you see the things that He has made, you cannot help but to see God's authority over us, over man, over the earth. Next, he talks about the sun. He goes into detail about how he is the one that controls the rising and the setting of the sun. Have you ever really thought about that? That nothing has control over the sun but God. It goes up and it goes down by God's beckoning. And that's something, as you read through the entire Bible, God goes back to creation several times to show His power, to show His authority. I want to show you that in Revelation chapter 4. As I've been studying the book of Revelation this summer, this kind of stood out to me as I went back to Psalm 19, as I was reading it one day. It went back and I checked at Revelation 4 and reading verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. We see that God deserves glory, God deserves honor, and He has power. Why? Because He created everything. We need to remember those things as we go out into the world and we're teaching others. We're teaching them the gospel. It all begins at the beginning of time, when God created the earth. And that is where His authority comes from. That is why He can tell us what we must do. And that's where we're going to move on to the next point, verses 7 through 9. We're going to see the awe of God's law. It is perfect in all things. Verses 7 through 9 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God has authority over man. That's why God's laws are perfect. And He has put those laws in place for us to obey. It is up to us if we're going to obey them or not. But His laws and His precepts and His truths guide us to live a better life. Someone that puts their life into the hands of God and studies their Bible and lives a life according to God is going to have a good life. They're going to have everything that they need. God is going to take care of them. And everything that the Lord has commanded man is perfect in its ways and is true. Turn with me to John 14, verse 6. As we see in Psalm, they're talking about the Old Testament. We're talking about the laws of the old. What are we commanded to do today? What is the law that we should be following? John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Today we have the New Testament, the new law of God that God has created for man. And the only way to achieve that law is to follow Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the only way that we're going to go to heaven. He is the only way to the Father. We have got to make sure that we are abiding in Christ's teachings and Christ's laws, because they are perfect in all things. So we turn back to Psalm 19. We've looked at verses 1 through 6 as the authority of God. Verses 7 through 9 is the awe of God's laws. And verses 10 through 11, we're going to see what the aim of man should be. What should be man striving for? After knowing God has authority, God has created laws. In verse 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycombs. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." The laws of God are sweeter than any honey you're ever going to taste. They're finer than any gold that you could find. It is the perfection. God has placed them for us to follow, and our life should be demonstrated by following them. And you look in verse 11, "Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." God has given us every motivation to follow His law. He's shown His authority. He's shown His power. He's shown that His glory is greater than what we could ever comprehend. He has given us the laws that are going to make our life better, that are going to make us closer to God. But He's also given us motivation in those too, right? We have the motivation of a reward in heaven. We also have a punishment that He tells us that's going to be there for those who do not follow His law. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. "In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might." That is what's waiting for people who do not accept Christ, who do not repent of their sins. God has called all men to repent everywhere. He's called on men to confess Christ as His Son of God, as the Son of God, and to be baptized with Him into His name. For those who don't follow it, that's what's waiting for them, is eternal destruction, fire, flames of vengeance. But the worst part is that you're going to be away from God. You're going to be nowhere in the presence of God. That's the worst part of destruction and eternal damnation, is that God's not going to be there. But He gives us also the motivation, Revelation 2:10. "For those who remain faithful unto death, there will be a crown of life." There's both motivation factors. For me, as being growing up, if you wanted me to clean my room, the reward didn't get it done. Right? Offering me an ice cream cone just did not motivate me to get up and clean my room. But the motivation of a whipping sure got me motivated quickly. It got me up, it got me to go up and do things. Everybody's different, right? It might be the ice cream, it might be that reward, it may be the whipping and the punishment. God's word and God's law gives us both. And this evening you have that opportunity to follow Christ, to follow His gospel, to put Him on in baptism if you've never done so. Maybe it might be the case that you've once done that. You've once been motivated to live a godly life. You've followed God's law, but along the way you've decided to turn back to sin. God wants you back home with Him. If there's anyone that has any needs this evening, we ask that you please come forward as we stand, as we sing.